The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Good evening and welcome to Down the Garden Path with your hosts Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact us live this evening, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Send us an email in studio101@gmail.com. And now, broadcasting live from the Beaver Valley Media Group Studios, Basement Studio 1A, it is Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing.
Hello there, and welcome to Down the Garden Path here on a nice, bright, sunny Monday. Thank you for joining us. Both Matthew and I are here tonight, and we want to welcome you to the show. Down the Garden Path is where we discuss down-to-earth tips and advice for your plants, gardens, and landscapes every week. And as fellow gardeners, and even more so as fellow landscapers, both of us are landscape designers, we think it's important and possible to have a great garden that is low maintenance. And we do our best each week to bring you interesting, relevant, and timely topics. And tonight, I think, is an especially timely topic to help you with your yards and gardens. So tonight we are going to be talking pruning, the most popular question we get, right, about this time of year, aside from lawns.
Yes, lawns,
so
everything.
Welcome to the show, Matthew.
Thank you, Joanne. Thanks for having me back.
You're welcome. And I think it's interesting to have this discussion on the radio, so we can't really show people, but we can certainly describe, and we can certainly, so if any of our listeners have pruning questions,
yes,
perennial questions, spring gardening issues, anything they want to talk about, Gary's already mentioned the numbers, or you can email us at instudio101@gmail.com. So what should we talk about first?
I'm laughing because we came to talk about pruning and dividing perennials.
Right.
And then you've opened it up like spring.
I know anything. Yeah, I know.
I get to see like lawn for the next like 40 minutes.
Sorry. I guess you're tired of talking about lawns, right? We only want to talk about pruning, but
yeah, no.
I mean, it is important, and it's often, I was just showing you a picture of something that's been a mistake in my own garden, right? So pruning, sometimes we're making mistakes that we don't even know we're making.
Right.
Right? Yep. I have a particular shrub in my garden, and even though I often advocate for only cleaning up the gardens in the spring, this particular shrub ended up getting pruned in the past couple of years, and so I never really even noticed it in my spring garden, and last year it did not get pruned, and it is this beautiful flowering shrub right now.
Gorgeous.
I know. And so that was like a huge light bulb of something that had been trimmed shouldn't have been, and right, it was cutting off the spring flowers. So
that's it, and that's one of the general rules about pruning shrubs. We think it's like a viburnum. We think
yes,
but spring flowering.
I think I would know what I planted in my own garden. I know, listeners. I know, right. But
but that's so funny.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just laughing. Situational. Anyways, the general rule of pruning. So, yeah, they were pruning a spring flowering shrub in the fall, and a lot of spring flowering shrubs will set their flowers, mm-hmm. like your lilacs, your viburnum that you have, the forsythia. So yeah, just the general rule is don't prune right after they have flowered. So if you wanted to prune or shape that viburnum or the forsythia, your lilac, your rhododendron, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, prune it right after it flowers. That's when you're going to prune and shape and do all that. Yeah, because for years, whoever was pruning the shrub mm-hmm. had pruned off all the flowers.
Yeah.
They're waiting there over winter.
Yeah, did not know.
Go. Nope.
Did not know. And so I often get those questions, when can I prune my lilac?
Mm-hmm.
And forsythia.
Forsythia, yeah.
You know, my forsythia never blooms.
And it's because you've sheared it in the summer or late fall or something right. like that, and you've cut them all away.
Right.
Yeah.
Or it could be also because the buds have gotten hit by a frost,
yeah, and
right?
It could
That's
be that
the
as
secondary.
Well.
I don't think lilacs as much, but the forsythia, right?
Forsythia, yeah.
Although I was told this weekend that it is forsythia, that is the proper pronunciation that is named after a gentleman from the early times of horticultural societies.
Named Forsythe?
Named Forsythe. And so it should be Forsythia.
That's hilarious. It's funny that you mentioned that because for about the last 3 days, everyone in the garden center, I've noticed they've been saying, do you have any Forsythe shrub or Forsythia? And why are we calling it Forsythia right
now? Yeah.
So that's very interesting.
Yeah.
That's funny that you suddenly knew it.
Yeah, that is funny. So yeah. So what else do you think, do we have to prune? Like, so, you know, there's people that, you know, is it a make work? Is it one of those things that, you know, we say we do it because our parents told us we had to do it or our neighbors are out there doing it.
Yeah.
You know, why do we prune?
Yeah. Why do we prune? So we don't really have to prune per se. We prune because we're growing the plants for fruit bearing purposes or ornamental purposes, things like that. We are watching them. But, you know, out in nature.
What do you mean? You mean at the nursery?
We're watching the nurseries or in our gardens. Or
yeah.
We're much more involved one-on-one with our plants in our gardens than we would be if they were out in the woods, right? Because nothing
for
is
sure.
being pruned out in the woods.
Yes.
So I always say, when in doubt, don't worry about it. Because Mother Nature doesn't have magical pixies and gnomes running around, right? So.
Yes.
So we prune for a number of reasons for ourselves. And one of the main reasons is removing dead and diseased branches. They're very unsightly, they're dying back, and they can cause big other issues
mm-hmm.
For other plants. Decaying or dead branches can be homes for spores and insects that'll, you know, take advantage of some shelter and move and spread throughout the shrub. So just removing any of the dead and diseased branches, that's always a good thing. Just the general health of the shrubs.
Okay.
Stimulating flower production, that's a big one. Keeping the health and the vigor of our shrubs,
okay.
right?
Okay.
A number of shrubs, as the wood grows older, it loses its vigor. It becomes woody, old, and it just doesn't produce as many flowers. So,
or even leaves. I'm thinking of the burning bushes, right?
Right.
They tend to get, I find people are, extremes with those. They don't touch them for the longest time until they get really big and where there's only leaves on the outside and there's nothing on the inside because they haven't pruned them.
Right.
And then they prune, like they literally take a chainsaw to them yeah. and prune them 2 feet from the ground.
Yep.
Right? And then it's all woody.
It's all woody and mm-hmm. the wood doesn't really produce new stems. Yeah. Yep, exactly. So yeah, getting that new leaf growth out there again, for sure. Air circulation and light penetration, you know, filling in that, you know, full sun shrub, just like you said with the burning bush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that sun gets shaded out and it loses some of the vigor. The leaves disappear and you really don't get as much of a growth or a show anymore.
So should you start, speaking of burning bushes, because I find people sometimes don't start pruning things or trimming things until it's like too late, right? You know, when it's still young, should we be trimming just to kind of encourage a better growth habit, let's say?
Yeah, you can if you have some weak scaffolding branches. So those are like your main solid arms. If you've got too many clusters of tiny little branches, you want to thin out some of those, get some nice, you know, strong, thicker scaffolding branches, kind of like a
interesting name,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like their core branches of the shrub.
Okay.
If you picture like a naked tree, for example, those big main limbs that give you that kind of picturesque winter shape,
yeah,
those are going to be your scaffolding branches, those main ones that you would draw in as a tree. Yeah. So pruning out some of those, thinning out those, getting that nice shape started, and then just, you know, letting it grow and get vigorous. Yeah.
Okay. So would you have to prune a pruning bush every year, do you think? Or
I know people who do because they use it as a hedging kind of thing. But no, every, I always say, you know, every 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
Let the wood grow in and then remove some of the oldest wood.
Right.
So like a third of the oldest wood.
Okay.
You've got some good old scaffolding branches, but then you're going to get increase some vigor, some new branches maybe from the bottom, as well as some new lateral branches.
I often say a third, right? So every third, like if you do a third... And then every 3 years, your third branch is matured enough, you know, and so you always have mature plant, mature, I guess, scaffolding type.
Scaffolding branches are in a solid core.
Yep. Okay.
And same thing with things that are in leaf, right? If you're shearing something.
Okay.
Taking a third of the active leaves. If the two thirds of those leaves are going to help, you know, keep the plant going, feeding, photosynthesizing. Things like that. If you take too much, you can stress it or damage it or kill it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And so, yeah. So what about hedges? I mean, this is, I don't think it's the time, but you tell me, you know, that people have I have a yew hedge. A lot of people have yews or boxwood hedges. Now is time to kind of do a bit of cleanup, but not necessarily that really aggressive pruning, right?
Yeah, exactly. Warming up, get out there, clean up some of those leaves. We talked earlier on earlier shows about the leaf debris left over in our hedges and shrubs and things and housing beneficial insects. They should be woken up and starting to move around. So go in there, clean them up. But right now, no, don't go out and start hacking and shaping yet. You want to get some new growth going. Remove any winter dead. You know, if you've seen something that's broken off or something's completely browned out, it's dried out from the winter winds or even sunburn. Perhaps you have a brown side that's facing the sun.
Okay.
It's so cold, you've gotten some sunburn there. You know, prune out any of the dead or brown kind of stuff.
Right.
But leave it for the main shaping when she's going to give you that growth in about mid-May to mid-June.
Okay.
They're usually going to give you a nice big flush of growth. Fill any of that dead gaps.
Okay.
And then you can see where there's weak stems. Maybe you need to grow some new scaffolding. Maybe you want it to grow taller. You can kind of see where the new growth is and going to direct that growth.
Okay.
To shape your shrubs.
Because yews specifically, I mean, I love my yews. My dense yews seem to grow fine, but my Hicks yews, and I use Hicks yews a lot in designs as well.
Mm-hmm.
Having them stay nice and thick. So that is kind of pruning them after the new growth in June.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and I have a small hedge as well
of
yews. And that's, let them kind of grow out. I'll give them a light shear in beginning of June. Let the new growth kind of...
Okay.
Fill up and fill in. Yeah. Another thing with hedges especially, too, is those shaping of how you prune it, that A versus the V.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you explain that to us?
Because
I was going to say, because sometimes it's not even just the outside. Sometimes with Hicks yews, like those little limbs start to like kind of flop.
That lateral branching.
Yeah, like
flopping.
They're a little floppy. And so it's like, if I cut it, though, I'm going to have I worry that I'm going to have a bare spot.
Right.
But yet it's not filling in either. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so a lot of people, if you look around the roads, you have this beautiful hedge, but everyone can see the bottom where it enters into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the thick old stems, right,
yeah.
when it comes out of the ground. So everyone prunes it kind of like a V shape, so it always is wider on the top.
That's what you
right?
meant. Okay.
So the edges go narrow at the bottom and widen at the top, like the letter V.
Yes.
But really, you should prune like the letter A, so it's slightly wider at the bottom. And narrow at the top. And you don't need to do like this massive
A. Coming to a point, right?
Right. You're not, you know, pruning the pyramids of Giza, but, you know, just a little, you know, 5% cutback.
Okay.
And what that does is those side lateral growths get a lot of the sun and they can spread out and fill in, create their own lateral branches, develop some scaffolding, and you get that solid hedge straight to the ground. So you can don't get to see all those ugly.
So do you think that's what it is then, that the top is kind of shade? Because that basically if the top is too too wide, it's shading the bottom.
That's exactly what it's doing. You're right.
Okay.
It's shading all that growth. The plant recognizes there's not enough sun. It's a full sun plant. She diverts the growth otherwhere because she just can't support it down there.
Okay.
It's not just getting enough sun.
Right. Yeah. And pruning does, people think pruning to control the size of things. But it does and it doesn't, right? Because pruning actually encourages growth.
Yes. Pruning does encourage growth. The tips of things send out a signal to the lower leaves and buds or nodes. And that hormone tells those things not to grow. So if you think of a Christmas tree.
Okay.
the Christmas tree is very pyramidal, and the tip is telling the other branches not to do any growing because of the hormone. But if you cut it, two new leaders show up, and they start to fatten. So the same is true with all the other branches. As you cut the tips off and remove the signal, the other buds can activate and start to flush out and grow and fill in.
Okay. Because I was at a client today, and she had a big, very big cedar, like 8 feet wide cedar, globe cedar too. It was quite big.
Nice.
And she said, and it was encroaching, you know, on the walkway and everything, but they loved it. And she said, you know, it was like this for a long, or it was a good size for a long time. And then her husband pruned it. And she goes, and now look at it. And so now he's got to prune it some more. And it's like, yes, the more you prune it, the more it's going to grow. Like you've told it, you've woken it up kind of thing. It lush, healthy. I mean, honestly, and I call it a globe cedar because it was a cedar plant in a ball globe shape, but it wasn't our typical, the globe that.
Like an actual globe cedar. It was
I don't think it was that. The texture was a little different of the leaves. So. So I was explaining that very thing to her that, you know, you need to remember that the more you prune it, the more it's going to grow. And that I encouraged her to kind of actually make, because it had grown beyond the garden. So I said at some point you may just have to widen the garden, you know, to accommodate it, you know, for the wider
to
size.
To accommodate the shrubs.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. So we do. I know you were dreading this question. Sorry, Larry. Larry's written in a question, and he's asked that, even though it's off topic, is it still too early to aerate my lawn? Thank you for the question, Larry. We're laughing because we were joking about trying not to talk about lawn today because we get so many lawn questions. But that's a very good one because I'm usually pretty anti-aerate. But I think it's not too wet, right? Like, I think it's better, like this end of April. It's those ones that knock on the door on, you know, on April Fool's Day and want to do it.
Yeah. Or even mid-March. And it's
sunny Saturday in March and those things show up.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
Yeah. Right now, because it's warm, the grass is greening, things are growing. The lawns are moist. They're not really soggy, so that's a good time. Again, don't walk on your lawn when it's really wet, like right after a day of rain.
Yeah,
or garden. Exactly. I always say wait till the grass is greening and growing because the grass will help you fight the battles against the weeds. And when it's cooler, like right now we were talking earlier, the overnight temperatures isn't there yet for our grass seed.
Right.
So the grass seed's not growing. The grass is greening, but the weeds are in full swing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the dandelions are flowering on the way to work,
yeah,
etc. So when you pull out all those plugs and you aerate or too early in the spring, I find that you just run the risk of bringing up old weed seeds.
Right.
And then they sprout because the grass isn't actively growing,
mm-hmm.
and it's perfect because the weeds grow faster than the lawn.
So yep.
If you'd like to now and your grass is greening and it's starting to show a little growth, I mean, go for it. I mean, it's
or do you think wait another couple of weeks?
Right. I always say wait until the end of May.
End of May. Oh,
right.
Okay.
Or mid to end of May.
Okay.
The grass is actively growing. So any weed seeds that do come out and attack, I mean, your grass can help strangle them out.
Shade them out and stuff.
Exactly, outcompete them because the grass is in its prime now growing as well.
Okay.
The grass seed is growing, it'll help you, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I always say that. Or, I mean, and I say in my seminars too, do it in the fall. You've gotten, your lawn is all repaired, the grass seed is grown. You're going to have fed her at least 2 to 3 times, depending on what time you do it in the fall. And then your grass should be 3 inches tall.
Okay.
So you pull out all these plugs or dethatch, and it's all sitting on the 3-inch grass blade.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got birds that are wandering around and animals, trying to pick up the seeds because they're smart. They see that you've dug something. So they kind of help you out that way, too.
Okay.
And then your grass is just at full strength.
Okay.
Guaranteed. So.
Excellent. Yeah. Well,
that's
hopefully
my answer.
Hopefully we've saved you. You don't have to do that this weekend, Larry. You can put it off for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
for sure. So why don't we pause there before we get back to pruning?
Yeah.
Why don't we pause for a commercial break? Thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path with Matthew and I here on Reality Radio 101.
I never meant to be so bad to you. Why? one thing I said that I would never do.
Are you wondering why your life isn't moving in the direction that you want it to? Do you ever hear yourself saying, "It's like I'm running into walls," or "My money flows out as quickly as it comes in"? Until about 9 years ago, I used to hear myself say those exact words. I could never figure out what was causing these problems or how to fix them. Well, that's until I started to learn about feng shui and how by applying the principles of it to my home or my office, I could in fact help fix those problems and have my life run smoother. Wow. When you book a feng shui consultation with us at Your Spiritual Connection, we will help you to figure out why things aren't working out in your favor, and we will offer simple solutions to help correct the problems, which will in turn help your life to run smoother.
Contact Trish John of Your Spiritual Connection at 905-391-8801. To book your feng shui consultation today. For more information on any of our upcoming events and workshops, please visit our website at www.yourspiritualconnection.ca. Your Spiritual Connection, helping you to make the connections in your life. The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact us live this evening, right now in the Toronto GTA area, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Send us an email in studio101@gmail.com. And now, right back to your professionals, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Down the Garden Path. And I'm here with Joanne, and we are talking about pruning and all the other fun things like dividing perennials and lawns and what to do in our April / almost May gardens. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. So I don't know if I can make it to May.
Yeah.
It is the garden design season, let me tell you.
Yes. Are you busy?
I am busy. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. It's good. It's a good problem to have. It's just one of those, you know, where you never know when it's going to start and you never know how you're going to do it.
Yep.
But we do it.
It's like at the garden center. One minute it's quiet and everything's good. And now everybody wants everything six months ahead of time.
Yes,
and
for sure.
What's happening?
For sure. It's funny because I gave a presentation a few weeks ago at one of the home shows. And my presentation is creating a low maintenance garden. So a lady emailed me and said she heard the presentation and she couldn't write down all the names of the plants. So could I tell her, you know, which shrubs and stuff? And so I listed, you know, I had a lot in my presentation, so I listed a few of the ones. And she said, okay, I'm going to go right out to the nursery and take a look. And I said, well, so I had to email back and say, well, it still is early. Like, they may not be there yet, you know. So yes, things, you know, just because it's warm outside, it doesn't mean that they magically arrive and we can start planting even.
Right.
I know I have some clients who want appointments right away because they want to get it planted right away. And it's like, it's still not planting time, really.
Yeah, no, we're way ahead of the game. I mean, in the garden center right now, we've got campanulas that bloom from the birch leaf campanula, June to September, and it's in flower. So it's like a month and a half plus ahead of itself.
Oh my gosh. So,
so we're very, very eager. But, you know, take the cue from nature. What's she doing?
Right.
Her leaves are just coming out. So.
Yes. Oh, good point. Right. Good point. Are the trees coming into the store?
Yeah, the nursery stock. Yeah. If you're looking for trees and shrubs, we've got lots of those. The fruiting things are still a little slow to come. But the classics.
Yeah,
for sure.
Definitely.
For sure.
So, yeah, so people are keen. People they are keen.
Very keen.
So anything else? We were wrapping up talking about pruning. So we've covered, you know, the evergreen, you know, doing the A's and not the V's. Mm. That's a great way to explain it. Anything else that we should cover?
I guess just quickly, two common questions that I get asked a lot are roses and clematis.
Ah, yes.
So just to quickly just touch on those. Roses prune like a hand. So you're grandifloras, hybrid teas, things like okay. that. So if you hold up your hand with all your fingers spread out, that's what the main canes should look like. And then always cut to an outward bud. So imagine your fingernails facing away from you would be an outward bud. And so they continue to that same shape that you have.
Oh.
Because roses are so prone to disease and insects. So that just ensures great air circulation and light penetration
okay.
to help reduce all those stresses and those diseases and things like that.
Okay.
Clematis, know your name of your clematis and mm-hmm. take a look at the tag because there's
people
three,
never keep the tag, Matthew.
Never keep the tag.
House, that same house with the cedar, she had four clematis, you know, two and two kind of thing. And she asked about, and I said, is the tag there? Like, because you can't tell by looking at it.
You can't.
Right? You cannot.
No, you cannot.
Honestly, even by looking at the flower, ladies and gentlemen, like, we cannot, you know, I can't. You're a
no.
horticulturalist. Can you tell? No.
I can't. No.
We really need the tag to know when to prune, yeah, right?
Exactly. I mean, there are some, you know, there's the top five varieties that most people know. But, I mean, there are more. There are just as many flowers out there that are mm-hmm. our number of names of clematis.
Yeah.
So keep that tag and know the type that you have
mm-hmm.
because they all do different things at different times.
Right.
They all kind of like it. When in doubt, don't, or just prune after they've flowered.
Right.
Kind of thing. So, yeah.
Know yeah. So now, types. Like, because this client, it had started to grow a little bit. So it was certainly budding and leafing out, but there was still a lot of brown. So she said, she goes, I don't cut the brown off. I leave
right.
it until it starts and then I pull off the brown. Right.
Yes,
and I said,
yes.
that was unless you knew, I said, the safest thing. That was the safest thing to do.
I say that a lot about the mm-hmm. hydrangeas.
Okay.
Right? Everyone's asking, oh, pruning hydrangeas.
Mm-hmm.
Just let them be and just take out any of the dead wood and
yep.
just because that's what nature's going to do. And
yes.
out in nature, you know, we pick them because they flower so beautifully and so yep. long. So just let her do her thing.
Yeah. And please don't cut them in the fall for sure.
No,
whatever
no,
you do,
no,
please
no.
don't cut them in the fall. So there's nothing you can do now if you did that, but leave
that,
them alone. But they don't need to be pruned even more now. They can thicken up, right?
Right.
So, yep. So yeah, I get a lot of questions about hydrangeas for sure.
Yeah. So those are my big two ones.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I know. Sorry, back to roses for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Carpet roses. Do they require, because that's my new favorite,
yep.
carpet and shrubs. I know you talked about the grand, you know, hybrid tea and grandiflora.
Mm-hmm.
Shrub roses, and do we need to prune
Not
them?
Really, no. Those two, just kind of removing the dead heads or rose yep. hips when they're spent or shriveled. And then
okay.
just, yeah, any crossing branches or just, you know, those typical pruning.
Because the flowering,
issues.
The carpet ones are quite small, like perennial size.
They
really.
Are. They
you
really
know,
are.
Really thin stems, too.
Yep.
So they were just good to leave them alone.
Yep. Yeah, just leave them alone.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. That is good news. So, yeah, so it makes them, so I've kind of added them to my little toolbox of low maintenance plants because they are more disease resistant
Very.
And they are less, less care, require less care.
Right. And another great variety for the low maintenance, low disease rose, the knockout series.
Mm.
Have you ever played with those?
No.
Yeah. We,
So isn't that, was that a shrub or a flower carpet or it's something completely different?
Kind of more like a shrub. I believe it's a shrub.
Okay.
Rose. I may
All
be
right.
wrong
the
if anybody
series.
Knows. You know, write in and ask us and correct us. But those knockouts, we have a gentleman at the garden center who grows them in containers. They overwinter in his containers.
No way.
And he's
really?
Up like Uxbridge, like way mm-hmm. up there. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You know, you know what I'm talking about. And so they're in his containers. They bloom all summer long. He waters them maybe one and a half, you know, every day.
Because he does enough watering at the store. He
exactly.
doesn't need to water at home.
And he was saying just the other day that they just bloomed for months on end. Like what they started in, you know, end of June, beginning of July, and they just went to the end.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm
going to
try that out
away.
This year.
Blown away.
So he wintered them in the container.
He wintered in the container at the end of his driveway. So it wasn't even like they were up sheltered against the house.
Really?
They were worried at the road.
So I could put them in containers around the pool.
Yeah, yeah, try that. Exactly. Yeah, they might be great in a container around the pool.
Wow.
Yep.
Very cool. Okay, knockout roses, everyone. And they come in some really great colors, too.
They're pretty vibrant. They're some really cool oranges and reds and pastel pinks. And they're really fun. And they very, very much look like a shrub rose, too. That kind of flower. That's why I think they pretty much are.
Very funny, Pedro. He's listening to us. a lawn question. Oh, thank you. I'm glad you're enjoying the information.
Thanks, Pedro. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
My heart skipped a beat.
Yeah, no, me too. No, I know. We made fun of people. Sorry. We'd happily answer them if we had them. So
we will. You know what? I think that we need to do a pure lawn show.
But haven't we, though? We seem like we have.
It feels like we have.
I think it's just, going to keep, because it changes from week to week what we can do or can't do.
Right.
And I think there's so much misinformation and those commercials. I mean, honestly, those lawn seed, grass seed commercials have been out since February 1st, right?
Yes.
So people have so much misinformation. So that's why we kind of joke, Pedro. So thank you. So back to pruning. So that's a big spring thing. So and if you don't have to do it, don't do it.
Don't do it. When in doubt, don't, because that's what Mother Nature does.
Right. Yep. Okay. And what else is a good time of year? This is a good time of year.
For dividing some perennials.
Excellent. Yes.
Hostas.
Mm-hmm.
Hostas. A lot of any of your fall flowering perennials. It's good to do as you start in the spring to pick
them
up.
Like the sedums and stuff, some of the like Autumn Joy, those big cabbage-like ones. Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I actually brought in a list because I figured we might get one or two questions about this.
Okay.
So I had a spreadsheet and I thought, you know what? I'm going to bring it in.
You didn't make this spreadsheet though. No. Okay.
I did not. I did not.
This is a good one.
Right. I had found this and it was... I can't even remember who did it. It was so long ago.
Right.
But it's really, really neat. So, so things like hostas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now you can divide them anytime, but I find it is much better if they're just peeking out because my thing about if you do them later, when they're fully leafed out, I find then they're leggy and they kind of look leggy through the rest of the season. They're certainly going to survive. They're certainly going to live and whatever, but I just don't find they have that nice same rounded appearance. Whereas if you get them early and you literally need to kind of dig out the clump. Use a sharp knife, cut it into three or four, right, depending on the size, and then go from there. And then once you plant that, it will grow up and still be really nice tight, right?
Nice, tight, exactly. And you can see where all the new eyes have come from last year's growth. And like you said, you get that nice round hosta shape again. For sure.
And if we don't, so some people say, well, mine are huge and I never divide them. Sometimes you see and some don't need it, I think, but some you start to see them die out in the center, right? And then they don't have, on their own, they don't have a rounded, nice appearance. And they've kind of got some bare spots.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes slugs, that seems to even be more of a home for slugs, right?
Yeah, it's nice and dense and moist. And the moisture gets trapped in there. It's dark and shady. Yeah, they like that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, and that's definitely one of the things you want to look for with your perennials. Yeah, they start to die out in the middle. That's a good sign that you need to divide your perennials. A reduction in flowering. If your flowers are starting to kind of, you lose that vigor. We kind of talked about that with the shrubs, right? They're just not producing anymore. They kind of just on the outside. That's a good reason to do is just reinvigorate.
Yes. I'm trying to think of which perennials. Yeah, I don't have, you can tell I don't have a lot of perennials in my garden. Isn't that terrible?
She's a shrub.
I am a shrub girl. I am. So some of what I do have has been like the last couple of years. So I really am not in that situation yet. But then I think about other people's when I'm visiting other people. Other clients and stuff like that, and what there's certainly sedums for sure. That's one that definitely needs to. Irises, I guess they're still technically a perennial. You know, people think of them as tubers or bulbs, but
yes,
they tend to be needing separating, right?
Yep, they get too clustered. Yep. For sure. Grasses, some of those grasses, they like to be spread out, right?
Yes.
They like to get that division because they get so rooted.
Yes.
That fibrous root system, they keep competing with themselves.
Okay.
Echinaceas, a lot of perennials that send out little side shoots. because eventually they become their own separate little plants. So now they start competing with them.
Oh, okay.
Right. So they kind of keep spreading like that.
I've very rarely met anybody who like had too full of a bush of, like, it seems echinacea just doesn't.
Oh, it's so like easygoing.
It's easygoing, but it doesn't, sometimes it just peters out. Right. And it's not anything you've done. Like it's never going to be, you know, like a,
I've seen that with bee balm too.
Yes.
Just kind of spreads and then just kind of fades.
Yes, yes. And the older varieties, I'm not a super fan of the older varieties because they get so much mildew.
Yes.
But they definitely, because they spread so much so into far. Such a big clump, that you definitely find that not flowering and kind of dead space in the center, right?
They kind of like that little pond
droplet. And it's a really, I think there's some really new varieties. I know we've had Dawn from Gardens Plus on the show, and she's a mail order garden center in near Peterborough, and she sells a lot of Easy Care perennials, and she's got a lot of really interesting new varieties of bee balm and smaller sizes and compact and disease resistant. I hope the garden centers are carrying some of this stuff too. Mm-hmm. But so I say, if you've got the taller, older, you know, mildewy ones, then toss them out. Like, it's now time. There's improved, right?
Yeah. They're all improved.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a lot of great dwarf varieties and even the taller varieties. There's new great mildew resistant.
Lavender can be tricky. I guess you don't really divide it though, do you?
No, it tends to be one of those half shrubby perennials, half shrub.
Yeah, it's really woody.
Yeah, it gets very woody. Yeah, your Caryopteris, your Buddleia, those kind of half perennial ones.
Okay. Yeah. So, but now what should people do? That's a good one. Either pruning or you can't really divide those. Like the Caryopteris, the butterfly bush, they tend to be woodier. And so they're kind of, some people think of them as a perennial, but they're not really a shrub, like, you know.
Yeah.
But they're also late blooming too, right?
Yes.
So often people dig them out and bring them into the nursery.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Too early. So be patient.
Be patient.
Patient. Yes. That's a big one, I think, this time of year. On your ornamental grasses, your, hibiscus, flowering hibiscus, your... Rose of Sharon's.
Especially those ones.
And butterfly bushes, be patient because they really need some heat, nighttime temperatures, right?
Exactly. Yeah. All those tall grasses, they're all hot or warm season grasses.
Right.
That's the word I'm looking
for.
And they need that heat to really grow. Yeah, exactly. Hibiscus like to sleep in. I've seen them wake up in June. They've been dead.
And then
they're up and they flower.
Yeah.
So, take your time.
That's a good way to say it. They like to sleep in. Same with Rose of Sharon. You know how many people every Saturday, right? Oh. In May, you're going to have somebody walking into the store with Rose of Sharon that really isn't dead.
It's not dead at all.
It's not dead.
And it's perfectly fine. Quick, go home.
I know. Put it back. And I'm so bad. I don't even work at I don't know how you do it working there because I don't even work there. And I stop people in the parking lot and go, no. Put it back in the car. It's totally fine.
Don't do it.
I know. So it's hard. I know people are impatient and that guarantee makes them all excited. And
yes.
Yeah.
The dreaded
guarantee. That's a whole show.
That's a whole show.
Other show. That's a whole other show is to talk about the guarantee. Is Gary talking to himself or is he?
I think there's someone beyond that. Oh, yeah, there is someone there.
Oh. So again, if you have any other questions for us, I know a popular question, and it's no longer on. I did a phone update and it's no longer on my phone, but there is people ask about the slugs on the hostas.
Yes.
And
what are they asking specifically about? I just get, I have slugs. How do I kill them?
Right. Yes.
This is pretty much
or prevent them.
Right.
And you're going to say, I don't know, is Diatomaceous Earth still available?
That's exactly what I say.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So Dawn from Gardens Plus had a different thing and the recipe is no longer on my phone. But I believe but she recommended ammonia. And so 9-part, I believe it was 1 part ammonia, 9 parts water. Could have been the other way around.
Okay.
She said it's now, and because it doesn't hurt the plant at all garden at all.
Yeah.
But it does certainly hurts the slugs. So and the snails. So she said she just covers the foliage. Now's a great time to do it to start. And so that's a kind of a secret, watering can with the little spout, not like the little shower head on the top of it, what's that called? Like a shower head.
Yeah.
You know, so it's nice, gentle watering, and do it like three times a season. And she said, you know, she thinks her slugs know, like there's the word is out that they don't cross that line, yeah. You know, they don't cross the street to her place anymore. Yes, exactly. Exactly. So it won't hurt your other plants. It won't hurt anything. But it definitely, the slugs don't like it.
And so it's like a foliar application.
Yes.
And then in the residue, and then they come around, they taste the pneumonia and they die basically.
Yes.
It harms them.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, very nice. So, I haven't heard that before. That's okay. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, she's
where,
because, well, she's growing. She's a small, you know, business, and she's growing plants. And lots of her stuff, you know, people can buy them, right? And she just digs them up and pots them, and you go home with it so people can see her. So she's got to take care of these, right? And if they're covered in slugs, no one's going to buy them. And she just can't let that happen in her space. So, yeah. That was her recipe. I will get that. I'll look for that.
Yeah.
I did the dreaded update on my iPhone, and that was not a good thing. Yeah. So what can you do? What can you do? So, yeah.
Are we going to head to a second commercial?
Sure. Yeah, I think it sounds good.
I think we'll pause here for a break. And you are listening to Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101.
Stupid, but I know it won't last for long. And
are you wondering why your life isn't moving in the direction that you want it to? Do you ever hear yourself saying, it's like I'm running into walls, or my money flows out as quickly as it comes in? Until about 9 years ago, I used to hear myself say those exact words. I could never figure out what was causing these problems or how to fix them. Well, that's until I started to learn about feng shui and how by applying the principles of it to my home or my office, I could in fact help fix those problems and have my life run smoother. Wow. When you book a feng shui consultation with us at Your Spiritual Connection, we will help you to figure out why things aren't working out in your favor, and we will offer simple solutions to help correct the problems, which will in turn help your life to run smoother.
Contact Trish John of Your Spiritual Connection at 905-391-8801 to book your feng shui consultation today. For more information on any of our upcoming events and workshops, please visit our website at www.yourspiritualconnection.ca. Your Spiritual Connection, helping you to make the connections in your life.
These times contagious. I've never been.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your hosts Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. Send them an email right now, instudio101@gmail.com.
Now with the hours passing, there's nothing.
And now right back to Joanne and Matthew.
Thank you very much, everyone, and welcome back to Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101. Now, when we finished off, we were just talking about that slug treatment, and I did find it on my phone. So it is 9 parts of water to 1 part of ammonia.
Nice.
And just with a watering can, like, you don't need a fancy hose end sprayer, she said. You can just, cover the foliage and cover the soil around, you know, around that area. Yep. And you can do it, you know, every other week if you had to, but you shouldn't need to.
Yeah.
You know, she said she kind of does it, likes to do it really early, and then once they've leafed out, and then a little bit later in mid-season.
Nice.
So, yeah. So that's a tip.
That's a very good tip.
Yeah.
That I'm going to have to try for sure.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah. Please. Now is also a good time, I think, you know, there's the dividing of perennials, but I think sometimes it's the time to, like, look and go, okay, this guy hasn't been performing.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to part with. So don't you think? It's some people are like, yeah, but it's still living. Yeah, I shouldn't, you know, but it's okay. Make room for something new and improved.
Right, exactly. Yeah, go out and explore something new that you've had your eye on maybe. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, add some more excitement and life into the garden. Most certainly.
Yeah, because there's always lots of new varieties.
There's always more varieties than one can learn every single year. Most certainly. And remember, too, if you hear something that's new and exciting, and I get this in the garden center, just talking about this, you know, it does take a couple of seasons to get that brand new thing or plant or variety into the garden center.
Yeah, so. Just because it's, especially if you're reading the, some of the American magazines, right? It's featured in a U.S. magazine and we don't have it here.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Or the article could be on a trial garden and it's just, it hasn't even been pulled to produce or anything.
Yes.
Yet,
yes.
For sure.
I ran into that with a little Quickfire.
Yes.
Right. So I think you carried it. I think it's a proven winner's thing.
Yep.
So the garden centers had it. But when I went to the growers to order, you know, a larger quantity of it, they were growing it, certainly, but it wasn't ready yet.
But it wasn't like, ready to go.
You know, it wasn't ready to go. And I'm it is in the, actually, it is in the book. I verified, it was one of the, when I got the book, I'm like, yes, it's in the book. So it, they, yes. So I saw the fields of them, you know, so there is a process. It's quite mysterious. I know we learned a lot about that last week from Alex.
Yeah.
I'm going to call the name wrong again, Beach. Nursery West, from Beach Nursery West, about how long it takes. You know, he's got trees that he planted 7 years ago that are just coming in now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's quite an investment in that, in the new stuff. But then I find, then it really hits the ground running, doesn't it?
It does.
You know, I think of Bloomerang Lilac, right?
Yep.
Like that one was limited availability until we all check. I personally like to try them out too and see if they live up to their name. Yep. Like the Pink Annabelle, not so much. Like
the Invincible.
Invincible is the big one, but then they try to make it pink.
Yeah. I'm forgetting the name. I'm thinking of a later generation, but you're right. It just didn't perform at all.
Yeah. Now, like, are they still selling? I mean, it didn't perform for me, and I, like, took it out of my garden and certainly didn't design with it.
Yeah, I think there is a new and improved one. I want to say, and I might be wrong, Invincible Spirit.
Okay.
And I think it's the pink improved.
Okay.
Annabelle crossed with the Macrophylla type, but I may be wrong there.
Okay.
Though. Yeah, but yeah, it just didn't go.
It'd be nice if they could make that work because the Annabelle is so winter hardy.
Yes.
And the Macrophylla are not.
No.
I know.
No. When we're talking about perennials and garden centers, I get a question often. So I'm buying this 1 gallon pot, which is basically just a big square. Can I take it home and divide it?
And do you get that asked that?
We get that like 5 times a week.
Really?
Yeah.
And oh my goodness.
The answer is no.
No.
You have to wait.
Let's say
like,
that again. No.
you need to go home, plant it, give it some food, give it the conditions it needs, and you need to wait like 2 to 3 years before you even think you need to rip it or like pull it out, rip it out. Don't rip it out. Pull it up and look at dividing it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Really? I don't remember
it's
that
a
from my day.
One.
Is that just kind of happened, started?
Just to me for in the last like 4 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The most bizarre one I've had is, so I've got this perennial. Do I plant the leaves above or below the ground?
Okay, we can't pick on the people, but yeah.
That's probably the most bizarre.
I know. There's some really...
There's some pretty big questions out there.
So. Yes, for sure. For sure. And ornamental grasses, I think, like hostas, are the ones that kind of die out in the center. But some of them, digging those up, though, can be tough, right?
They can be very tough, especially some of the bigger miscanthus. The root systems on those are massive.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like you need a backhoe just to grab her.
Yeah. Another question. I actually had this happen twice, yesterday and today. Because people start without a plan.
Mm-hmm.
They plant their little baby Japanese maple in their big garden. And because it's so little, they plant it so close to the house.
So close.
So close. Or so close to the walkway. So now, 4, 5, 10 years later, they want to move it.
Oh, yeah.
So the one yesterday, the client yesterday, it was a 10-year-old tree. I said, nope, can't. No. There's no way. The other thing is they had all their stonework done last year. So now there's no machine access. So I know Nancy and her guys moved a 10-year one 2 years ago, and it was a ton of work, but it had to be the machine. Like, it was 3 guys and the guy in the machine, you know, protecting the roots and cutting them gently and having burlap underneath it, and it was a production.
Wow.
So this one now, no machine access, 10 years old, really close to the house. I said, you need a new tree. Like, I didn't think that could stay there. It was literally a foot from the house. So that it was a blood good and it was up right against the window. Now, the one today, see, I'm like everybody's garden. Inabi Shadira, so the weeping variety, only about 4 years old. I said possibly.
Yeah.
Still no machine access, but that one I felt like possibly. She said they left the burlap on. Okay. I know. It still could have been. But so what do you think it's worth it? Do you think it's...
It is possible, but I still think it's going to be quite the move. I mean, you're going to definitely need a few people.
Yeah.
Because you got to take a big enough root ball, right?
Right.
So that it lives. And they get 300, 400, 500 pounds, depending on...
Yeah, I don't know if this was that. I mean, the Inabi, I don't think it was that, would be that much.
With the Inabi,
but
that might be the other one. Might be true.
Now, is there a better time of year than, like, is spring before it's leafing out? Is it better to do it, like, late summer? Is there a good time of year to even attempt it?
I'd probably do it, early spring, almost late winter when she's asleep.
Oh, okay. So not now. Like, or right now.
Yeah, I mean, you could.
It was budding. The Inabi was budding.
See, I'd be afraid of stressing it or bothering it.
Yeah.
And then she freaks out and goes. But
yeah.
That's a tough one.
Oh, my goodness. So moving things, is it generally, I would think this is a good time to move things.
Yes.
But something like that is trickier.
The bigger, especially the bigger trees and shrubs, they get very tricky. Very tricky. Yeah, because you need all those roots. I mean, she grows in proportion to herself, right? She gets the roots to support what she's got.
Right.
And if you've got no roots, it's like us missing insides and, you know, we can't do certain things. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, take, less environmental stress conditions. Don't do it when it's a drought or really hot. Make sure there's moisture, a cool day.
Yeah. That is cloudy. The advantage to now, right? It's still kind of cool and it's still not, I mean, as much as it's budding, it's not, aggressively growing.
Right. Not super vigorous.
Yeah. And I said transplant fertilizer and some good compost.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. You got food.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah. So if you have questions like that, we're always here to help you.
We are.
Yeah.
We are. That could be another show.
That moving things or?
No, like just a day where we're in the studio talking about whatever our listeners would like to. And they just send in questions.
Absolutely.
And questions. And we can bounce all over the place.
Yep. We can do that. And will you even answer lawn questions?
I'll even answer lawn questions.
I'm going to just ask you. I'm going to ask you questions. Fruit trees. So they're not as hard to grow as people think. They make a good flowering tree, don't they?
They do.
Even if you don't want the fruit.
Yep.
Right?
Exactly.
But they always, I know, again, on Saturday, where was I? Saturday or Sunday? Sunday, my other visit, the client requested an apple tree. But the ones we plant, like I've seen at the garden centers, are kind of tiny. Like, can you get a larger apple tree? Or are they always going to be?
They're all usually starters.
Are they starters?
I may be wrong on this, but I think most of the ones that we get are about 3 to 4 years old.
Oh,
they're probably about 4 or 5 feet tall.
Yeah,
they actually come pre-pruned because when they're young, they get a lot of little branches here and there. So we set up the scaffolding branches and. You get a good start on it. But, I usually only find them in a 7 to 10-gallon pot and just only so big.
Okay.
Yeah. I've never seen...
Me either.
A big one.
And I wouldn't think they would be at, like, specialty wholesale, like, specialty growers, right? Not everybody who's just growing them.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you ever think about putting them in designs? I only do it if clients ask for it.
I usually have to kind of feel what they want. I do kind of get a vibe from them.
Mm-hmm.
If they're really looking for a great flowering tree and they kind of want something unusual and some color, I might consider it. But I usually wait to see what they ask for.
Yeah.
It's usually a specific request.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that people do... also kind of shy away from them because a lot of the varieties you need two of them, right?
Right. But a lot you don't, right?
Right.
They don't know that.
They don't know that peaches and nectarines are all self-fertile. You can get self-fertile cherries and, the red delicious apple, if you like that one is. So, and then there's the multiple ones and they make great little flowering dwarf trees.
Yeah.
And you can get fruit. So.
Yeah. I think it's a neat idea, especially since the yards these days are so much smaller.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it is good. This particular client actually had a big space. So she's picturing saying like a big apple tree, and I'm thinking, yeah, a big apple tree in a long time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I think it was a great show today. Time flew.
Time did fly. I can't believe it's already 5 to 8.
I know.
To say goodbye to all these great listeners.
So what do you think we're going to talk about next week? Do we know?
We're going to have, if you were listening early, we're going to have Ernest Williams come back. He's from Aquascape.
Excellent.
And he's going to talk to us about everything we need to do for opening our pond and treating it. A lot of people find it's really, you know, hard getting that water chemistry and getting that ecosystem to balance.
Okay.
Not getting that green pond. So he's going to call in again, and we're going to talk all that stuff to
excellent.
Right, thriving from
I've got some good questions for him too. I've got somebody was looking at, can they change a pond to a pondless?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was a very good question. I got to see when my appointment is. I booked an appointment, but she asked me that question. And I said I knew Ernest and I would talk to him. And I've got to see if I have that appointment before or after. I may have to get that answer before.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thanks for your research. This was a lot of great information. And if you do still have questions about pruning, then please feel free to email me at joanne@downtoearth.ca or go visit my website at downtoearth.ca, and all my social media are there. And if I can't answer it, I will certainly forward it to Matthew, and if he can answer it, we can help you with that. So thank you very much for tuning in tonight and listening to Down the Garden Path.
And thanks for having me again on, Joanne. I love coming on.
Oh, good. Good. And you're listening to
Reality Radio 101.
Thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101.